Will the members please register their presence by voting? Clerk, please take the quorum.
Thirty-six present, four absent.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, Representative Rhodes is excused from a call to the House today. I'll ask unanimous consent that other absent members be shown as excused on official state business.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Our chaplain today is Lieutenant Floyd Bacon, Salvation Army. The House please rise for prayer.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham his servant, ye children of Jacob his chosen, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Help us, O God, to walk worthy of your love and mercy, this day and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Representative Bennett.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the charge be spread upon the journal.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Will the clerk please certify as to the correctness of the Daily Journal?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the Journal for the 72nd day with the corrected State Affairs Committee report on pages 616 and 617, and the correctness of House Supplement Number 23.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent this body approve the Journal as certified by the certified and corrected by the Chief Clerk.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Brings us down to the introduction of guests. Are there guests for the introduction of the chambers? Representative Cotton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce a friend and a constituent to those of us who represent District 8, Rosemary Johnson in Gallery A.
Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to introduce two buddies of mine over in Gallery B who are down here with the Char Executive Board and are going to be putting on a real fancy meal for us this evening. Gallery B, Don Kuehler and Mr. Rex Cooper.
Representative Lathine.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to introduce a guest of mine today in Gallery A, a good friend and constituent, Mr. Peter Keck, and also my wife, Judith.
Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, I have two guests today in Gallery A sitting next to my wife, two long-time Alaskans presently living in West Plains, Missouri. My parents, Mr. and Mrs. Norman Hayes.
Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I have several people introduced today. In Gallery B is a constituent of mine and Representative Freeman's, Mr. Jim Elkins, who's up for the Char Convention.
Representative Gardner.
Also, I have two other guests introduced who are my two favorite girls in my life, my two daughters, Giselle and Kirstie in Gallery B.
Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also down for the char activities, two friends of mine, two businessmen from Fairbanks, Bob Maloney and Gary Smith in Gallery A.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B are two members of my family, my mother who is visiting from the Philippines and my daughter accompanying her, Mrs. Garcia.
A further guest for introduction. Representative Urien.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I see a friend of mine, Gallery A, gentleman who's the executive director of the Homeowners Association of the state of Alaska, Lynn Alton.
Representative Osi.
Yes, and Gallery B is a constituent of Mr. Miller and Mr. Duncan and Carl Nichols. He used to be one of mine, so that's his name.
Are there further guests for introduction? If not, are there any messages from the governor?
Dear Mr. Speaker, I have signed the following resolution and bill and am transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. House Joint Resolution Number 45, requesting assistance from the Alaska Forces Radio Network in covering the Arctic Winter Games. Legislative Resolve Number 13. House Bill Number 863, making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services General Relief and providing for an effective date. Chapter 19, SLA 1978. Signed sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has adopted the Free Conference Committee report on Senate Bill Number 118 and House Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 118, Second Finance, amended House, thus adopting Free Conference Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 118, the miscellaneous appropriations to the Municipality of Anchorage, the Department of Revenue, the Legislative Affairs Agency, the Steering Council for Alaska Lands, and the Department of Commerce and Economic Development with an effective date. The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted herewith for consideration. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 69 by Rohde, Kurtula, Bradley, Coletta, Croft, Sumner, Willis, Huber, and Sackett, relating to construction of a lodge and visitor center in Denali State Park.
You referred to State Affairs and Finance.
Senate Bill Number 408 by Rohde, Kurtula, Bradley, Coletta, Croft, Sumner, Willis, Huber, and Sackett, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for pre-construction planning and engineering studies of the Petersville Road and providing for an effective date.
Referred to the State Affairs and Finance Committees.
Senate Bill Number 409 by Rohde, Kurtula, Bradley, Coletta, Croft, Sumner, Willis, Huber, and Sackett, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources for a feasibility study of the proposed Tokasitna Lodge and Visitor Center in Denali State Park and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
Dear Mr. Speaker, the House Resources Committee gives the following individual recommendations on the appointment of Robert Scott, Anchorage, to the Alaska King Crab Marketing and Quality Control Board. For confirmation, Snyder, Malone, Miller, Urien, Akers, and Osterbach. Signed sincerely, Mr. Osterbach, Chairman. The House Resources Committee gives the following individual recommendations on the appointment of Llewellyn Swanson, Petersburg, to the Alaska King Crab Marketing and Quality Control Board. For confirmation, Snyder, Malone, Miller, Urien, Akers, and Osterbach. Signed sincerely, Mr. Osterbach, Chairman. The House Resources Committee gives the following individual recommendations on the appointment of Philip Hansen, Unalaska, to the Alaska King Crab Marketing and Quality Control Board. For confirmation, Snyder, Malone, Miller, Urien, Akers, and Osterbach. Signed sincerely, Mr. Osterbach, Chairman. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Joint Resolution 31, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to legislative confirmation authority under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with the Special Committee on Permanent Funds, CS, for House Joint Resolution 31, and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, concurring by Gardner, Miles, Dankworth, Eliason, Rudd, and Brown. House Joint Resolution Number 31 has no further referral. The Committee on State Affairs is at House Bill 671, a special appropriation to the Department of Commerce and Economic Development for certain revolving loan funds under consideration. Three members of the committee recommend it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 671, and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. NACAC Vice Chairman, signing do pass, NACAC, Nankworth, Lathine. Signing no recommendation, McKinnon. House Bill 671 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on Hess has had House Bill 797, a special appropriation to the University of Alaska for expansion of its continuing education program for nurses, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Bennett, Chatterton, O.C., Cotton, Byrne, and Parr. Mr. Phillips has no recommendation. House Bill 797 has a further referral to finance. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of House bills.
House Bill 902 by the Finance Committee, an act making a special appropriation to the Power Project Revolving Fund and providing for an effective date.
Referred to the Finance Committee.
House Bill 903 by the Finance Committee, an act establishing an invention awards program.
Referred to the Commerce Committee and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 904 with a transmittal letter by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to Alaska land policy and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
House Bill 905 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to disposal of state land and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us down to consideration of the calendar. Would the clerk please read the first item on the calendar?
House Bill number 511 by O.C. Akers, Anderson, Byrne, Bennett, Buchholz, Chatterton, Cotton, Freeman, Gardner, Guy, Haugen, Malone, Miles, NACAC, Osterbach, Parr, Rhodes, Schaefer, Snyder, and Swanson, an act creating the Alaska Horse Racing Commission and authorizing paramutual wagering at sanctioned events. The corrected committee report of the State Affairs Committee has had House Bill 511 under consideration, and three members of the committee recommend it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 511 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Bradley, Chairman, concurred in by Bradley, NACAC, and Miles. Mr. Kelly signed do not pass. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original Bill 511.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Does the clerk have amendments to the committee substitute?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 511 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The clerk please read House Bill 511 in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 511 by the State Affairs Committee, an act creating the Alaska Horse Racing Commission and authorizing paramutual wagering at sanctioned events.
Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, let me, as the chairman of the committee that this went through, just give a brief sectional analysis of the bill for the people's, with the body's edification. There is a purpose clause, a purpose section in the bill, and so as to make everybody aware of the purpose, let me just read it. The purpose of this chapter is to promote agriculture and to encourage the breeding of horses in the state. From that, Mr. Speaker, let me go on. Section 020 creates the 5-member Horse Racing Commission under the Office of the Governor. Subsection C says that no person can sit on the commission if he has been convicted of a felony or if he has been convicted of illegal gambling in Alaska or any other state. And various references in that section refer to illegal lotteries and illegal gambling games. Section 050 refers to the commission would receive only travel and per diem, no salary. 080 explains the commission's powers and duties. 110 deals with the horse races with paramutual betting will be held only by bona fide state fairs during state fair days. Thus, Mr. Speaker, somewhat cutting down the argument that we're going to be creating hialeahs, and I don't know anything about gambling, horse racing, but you know, that's I believe that's the name of one famous racetrack. And so the intent is to not create that, but simply to have them at state fairs on state fair days, and nothing more. 120, explanation of that is all money received by the commission goes into the general fund. 130, paramutual receipts are distributed as follows. 7% is retained by the licensee, 5% to the commission, 5% to general purse structure, 1% to the municipality, and this is intended for services. The rationale there is that people coming out, let's say from Anchorage to Palmer, there'd be a heavier use of the roads, a heavier use of the police services of the municipality for directing traffic and stuff like this. So that's where the 1% is used for. 2% to Alaska Bread Purse, special incentive, again, with the intent for raising good Alaskan horses. 80% then is paid to the winning ticket holder. Subsection 3 means that the state may impose its 1% gaming tax if it so wishes, and the breakage is retained by the licensee. Let me just see if I can explain what breakage means, since most of us probably aren't familiar with that term. If a winning ticket statistically pays off, let's say, at $2.73, the holder of that ticket will receive $2.70, and 3 cents will go into the breakage account. And if anybody wants a more detailed explanation of that, I won't be able to provide it. Probably the most important sections, Mr. Speaker, are the crimes and penalties section. It was the feeling of the chairman, as well as I believe a majority of the committee, that to as great an extent as possible, we wanted to have this a real law and order bill, having a strong penalties as a deterrent to any sort of wrongdoing or abuse of this mild-mannered sport. Crimes include failure to comply with regulations or breach of regulations, bookie operations, any betting other than a sanctioned paramutual system, such as side bets, placing bets with bookies, and etc., or betting by minors. In this section, Mr. Speaker, we define a misdemeanor is not intended to, rather, a crime is a misdemeanor in this section if it is not intended to affect the outcome of the race. A crime is a felony in this section if it is intended to affect the outcome of the race. Penalties, misdemeanor is up to $1,000 fine and or up to 1 year's imprisonment. A felony is very, very stiff, and this was suggested by a Department of Law, or rather Department of Public Safety, to be at $25,000. The committee amended that in committee to have a felony up to $100,000 fine and or up to 5 years in jail. So the committee went even farther than the recommendation by the public protection personnel of the state. The applicability of other acts encompassed in the bill are the Administrative Procedures Act. It is under that act, and also the conflict of interest. Section 080, Param B, 1 and 2, gives public safety the power to investigate the backgrounds of commissioners, commission staff, racing officials, racetrack personnel, and veterinarians. A side comment, Mr. Speaker, my notes have it down. A query might be asked from the floor. Does paramutual betting at horse races attract organized crime? That will be probably the sum and substance of the debate here. In fact, it'll be alleged that it will bring in Joe Bananas and his relatives. The answer, Mr. Speaker, is as we could find out, is the information from the past committee action over the past years is that in 1976, an interim committee of the Indiana State Legislature, where I guess that I remember as a kid, I think there was a famous horse called Dan Patch, and that came out of Indiana. It was in some sort of Walt Disney a movie or something like that that I remember, and that's as close as I've ever come probably to horse racing. But I take it that Indiana is a big state for having trotters and fairs where they have horses running around. This state legislature, the Indiana State Legislature, found that it does not attract organized criminal activity. And who did they ask? Well, they asked law enforcement officials of various states and, in fact, the FBI. Another side comment, I remember a couple of years ago when various newspapers and editorials were heralding the advent of organized crime in the state, and saying that it was upon us in growing, with a real disease upon the state. And so I went to my first Anchorage Chamber of Commerce meeting ever, and I've never returned. And I went for one reason, and that was because the FBI director of the state, the new FBI director of the state, was going to speak. And I wanted to hear from his lips whether, in fact, organized crime was upon the land in the way that we think of it, or whether, as of course, Alaska just had its petty criminals as any place has it. And the man was asked from the floor by one of the chamber members if, in fact, organized crime wasn't rampant in the state and we weren't going to be in for a big impact based on the pipeline. His response was that no, organized crime was, in the standard definition of law enforcement, of his agency, was not ensconced in the state and was not anticipated to be a major problem. And the reason was, Mr. Speaker, is because the body count in the state is just not large enough to encourage the real classical organized criminal activities that we hear about from the media and that books and movies are written about and that are sort of romanticized every day in our culture. So I guess if at that time, if the director of the FBI in the state of Alaska figured that we didn't really have a threat of organized crime, I haven't heard any new pronouncement from the man. I believe he just retired. It doesn't appear to me that the allowing of paramutual betting at the Tanana Valley Fair and at the Palmer Fair is going to bring in the East Coast Mafia. So thank you very much.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, this question is to the chair, page 1, line 19. I just wanted the committee to just question convicted persons in foreign countries in the provinces of Canada in consideration.
Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, I don't believe that was considered.
Representative Dankworth.
This wouldn't be any good if I didn't say something about Mr. Osi's bill. I'm not going to talk about whether organized crime is going to come in. I don't think that's the big consideration, even though Mr. Bradley gave us a good rundown of his acquaintance with the FBI. I don't think that that's got anything to do with it. If you got this far and you don't know the difference whether gambling is good or bad, then there's nothing I can say to persuade you differently. However, anywhere that any community or any state or any nation has ever embraced gambling, there has been an increase in crime. I don't care whether it's organized or not. Alaska's not any different than any other place. And while this all starts off innocently, that we're going to do a good thing by allowing gambling in this one particular case, you're opening the door and you're endorsing and put an umbrella of public sanction on gambling. And I think it's a mistake.
Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, maybe I missed something there, but Mr. Danforth never said whether it was good or bad. And I think for me, when I'm thinking about paramutual horse racing, that you've got to look at other things that go on in this state that certain people are into for whatever reasons, such as the ice classics that are held. Salmon derbies are real popular in southeast Alaska. And there's a heck of a lot of people play bingo. I don't know if that's gambling or not, and maybe Mr. Danforth could tell me whether that's gambling and whether those activities are good and bad. But I think the point to me is that there really isn't this black and white line that some people might want to draw.
Representative Danforth?
I can answer that. In most cases, it is gambling. And I don't approve of that either. This is exactly what I'm talking about. We started off one thing, now two, then we got lotteries, now we're going to get into horse racing. You bet. To answer that question, I think that that is gambling. And it just proves the point that it's going to keep on going. And I don't see any point in opening up horse racing in Alaska for whatever cause, because I can guarantee you, from my experience, that while it starts off innocently in this case, you're going to see it expand, and you're going to see crime increase. And I think the people of Palmer in that area are going to regret the day that they ever invited these characters in.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, normally I don't disagree with Representative Danforth for reasons that kind of personal between us. We both had some law enforcement background, and although his was far more extensive than mine, I disagree with him as far as horse racing and paramutual betting is concerned. I have some personal acquaintance. I have a nephew who's a professional jockey, and I have a brother-in-law who breeds and races horses. So this is down in Idaho, and some years ago they went through the same problem, same big argument. And frankly, as it turned out, it was no big deal because there was not enough people and not enough activity to really make it a success. Anytime you're going to have horse races, people are going to bet on them. That's ever since people learned to ride horses. I suppose this has been going on. So all you're talking about here really is a different method, providing a different method for people to gamble on horse races. They do that already. And the only way you're going to prevent people from gambling on horse races is to prevent horse races. And I think that would be a little ridiculous. If you think there's enough horses, enough people, enough activity, and paramutual betting to make it a big deal in Alaska, you're mistaken. And if it'll be of some benefit to the people that in Palmer to run their horse races and allow the people to bet on them legitimately, I see nothing wrong with it. And I don't think there's going to be an influx of criminals to get involved with what will be, in the world of horse racing, be just about as small as it can get.
Representative Miles.
Mr. Speaker, I think there's a distinction that we have to make between this legislation and what Representative Bradley alluded to earlier, the Hialeahs of America, or the aqueducts, or the other standard commercial racetracks. These are private enterprise businesses out to make a profit. What we're doing here is we're allowing non-profit, the bill is very, very specific about that, non-profit race meets, commission-sanctioned race courses, and only at approved state fairgrounds. So we're not opening up the world to an onslaught of cloak and dagger people. It's strictly non-profit law that we're passing here.
Representative McKinnon.
I've got a more technical question than anything else. In the prohibited acts and penalties section, we make it a crime to run a bookie operation, in essence. However, if running that operation is not intended to influence the outcome of the race, it's a misdemeanor. I was wondering if anybody could tell me what the current law is on that, and if this would supersede that law.
Representative Bradley?
Well, I don't think there's a current law on the books, because if I understand the question correctly, I don't think any sort of horse racing is allowed currently, and that's of course what this is. This is you know, the enabling legislation for a certain narrow type of horse racing that's that of course, if it passes, would be sanctioned by the state under the confines of this enabling legislation. So I don't think it would supersede anything. The misdemeanor on the affecting the outcome of a horse race would simply be part and parcel of the enabling legislation, as would the the felony section.
Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't want to hold up the debate. I understand the morning line closed 2-1 in favor of this, and I want to see it register on the tote board. But looking out for the consumer, the way I figure it, the holder of a ticket, the holders of the tickets are going to get 80% of the gross receipts, and I wonder if that's standard in the industry, if I may ask a question of the sponsors.
Representative Osi?
I'm quite sure it is, because it was thoroughly researched this. They took it from Washington and the Montana rules and regulations, so I'm assuming that this is a regulation.
Representative Buchholz?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. When I co-sponsored this bill a couple of years back, I received a lot of letters because people were upset with the kinds of things that were anticipated would happen if this bill were passed. I did not receive any correspondence this year claiming that I am sponsoring organized crime in the state. So thankfully, people probably understand what this is going to do. I do have a question, though. I have not asked Mr. Osi about it, but since there has been some concern about what's going to happen if this really comes about, I wonder if they had looked into a sunset provision of this bill, if it does come about that there will be more problem to it than it really says it has. If there was one considered, I'd like to know from those people who considered this bill. If not, perhaps there might be some way to incorporate something like that for those people like me to appease my mind, because I do have some concern over this aspect myself.
Representative Bradley?
Mr. Speaker, no, in response through the chair to Ms. Buchholz, no, a sunset provision wasn't thought of, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's not a good idea. I think there's a reasonable point was made on that, and of course we all know the procedure and how that could be amended into the bill.
Representative Parr?
Mr. Speaker, speaking just for myself, I'd prefer to reserve sunset provisions, generally speaking, for things like boards and commissions and divisions and departments. And the legislature can be a sunset committee of its own anytime it wishes. If this doesn't pay off in 2-3 years, or it seems to be not acting the way we should, the legislature at that time could cut it right off.
Representative Urien.
Mr. Speaker, I really didn't want to talk today on this issue, but I'm going to remain consistent and vote no for this bill. I think this is the third time out of the chute for horse races, and it'll be the third time that I've had the opportunity to vote no. I understand that Jimmy the Greek has given 4-1 odds in favor of passage today, but despite that fact, I'm going to vote no. I do note, though, that it is a good, certainly a good local hire provision for horses in here. I hesitate to vote no against the local hire bill, but maybe a few years from now, the Today Show can come up and do an interview with some of the horses that didn't, outside horses that didn't get the chance to run in the race. I'm still going to vote no, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I'm really missing something somewhere. I thought that Mr. Carpenter and Mr. Urien belonged to the same party, but and presumably in caucus would have gotten this, but one quotes 2-to-1 odds and one quotes 4-to-1.
So further discussion?
Question.
Ready for the question? The question is, shall House Bill 511 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 12 nays, 3 excused.
So House Bill 511 has passed the House. Representative Carpenter.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. 2-to-1.
Mr. Speaker, could we have a brief at ease?
House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. We have the calendar under consideration. Would the clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
I have a citation commending Senator Henry Jackson by Representative Bob Bradley.
Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the citation.
There is objection. Representative Urien.
A question of the sponsor. I note that the citation says that Mr. Jackson is supporting land use policies which will protect and preserve Alaska's natural grandeur and beauty. I'm curious, just what is Mr. Jackson's stand on the D2 issue?
Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, I don't know for sure, but I thought it would be prudent for the state to sort of stroke down the senator from Washington as it was my intent to do for Congressman Lloyd Meads. It's a little different there. Meads is splitting, and so we told him job well done. Jackson is staying, so we're sort of telling him, you've done a lot for us, keep up the good work. And that's in the hopes that that he would be supportive of whenever this state gets its act together in toto, that he would be supportive of that act. I'm relatively confident in a general sort of way that the senator senator from Washington would do that. If anybody really has any substantive problems with this, why, I've got no problem with, we can hold it over or anything and craft it, you know, change an adjective here or a pronoun there. But the intent was simply to pat him on the back, and of course I hope this doesn't get out to him. Because he's a very, very powerful man and probably our most potent ally in the United States Senate when it comes to the D2 issue. And hopefully he can help us from getting trampled by the forces of extreme preservation, and that was the intent of this citation, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, the be an oversight, I think, to pass this if you don't recognize the work that Senator Jackson did on the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. I don't think it's mentioned here, but as one of those who went down to Washington quite regularly, Senator Jackson was in our court more often than not, and I think it would be appropriate to mention the his work as an advocate for Alaska, at least Alaska's native people, and I think it would be appropriate to hold this over to give recognition unless it's there and I missed it.
Can we have a brief at ease?
House, please stand at ease. We have under consideration citation commending U.S. Senator Henry Jackson. Is there further discussion? Ready for the question? Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would request of the sponsor the citation to hold it over.
Ms. Speaker, under those circumstances, I'd withdraw my motion and move and ask unanimous consent this citation be held over one legislative day.
Is there objection to holding a citation over for tomorrow's calendar? Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
There's a citation congratulating Michelle Larson by Representative Osi.
Representative Osi.
I move and ask unanimous consent that this citation be adopted.
Hearing no objection, citation's approved. Records show that the citation was approved unanimously. Brings us to the end of today's calendar and down to unfinished business. Representative Miller.
Speaker, this is an announcement I should have made yesterday, actually. I noticed everybody's dressed up and looks so nice today. I hate to say this, but we're not going to have our class picture today. One member had to be out of town, and we thought we should probably wait until we were pretty sure that all members could be here. As it turned out, another member is ill and in bed sick, so it was just as well that we postponed it. The photographer we've got is seeking to get an extra wide-angle lens so that they'll be able to take just one photograph without doing this splicing thing that they've done in past years. And if he can do that, get hold of that lens, it'll cheapen the price along with everything else, as well as give us a better product. So it'll probably be sometime next week. I'll give members at least a day or two to get haircuts or whatever needs to be done. That's all I have, Mr. Speaker. Thank you.
Representative Bradley?
I was told by the photographer the reason we needed wide-angle lens was for all the swelled heads. That's not true.
We're not under special orders yet, Representative Bradley. Is there any further unfinished business? Are there any special orders? Representative Cotton?
Mr. Speaker, could we return to introductions?
Representative Cotton, you have the floor.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery B, I'd like to introduce Nadine Price from Homer. She's a former chief clerk of this body.
I forgot to point out, Representative Cotton, that Nadine is now a constituent of myself and Representative Rode, and we're very glad to have her in our district. Unfortunately, Bob isn't with her at the moment. Are there further guests for introduction? If not, continue the regular order of business. There's no further unfinished business. Are there any special orders? Are there any committee announcements? Representative Miles. Representative Urien.
Be a Republican caucus upon adjournment.
Representative Cooper.
Speaker, the Finance Committee will meet at 1:15 to continue trying to its attempts to close up the budget, and we'll also meet at 8:30 tomorrow morning for the same purpose if we need to.
Further announcements, Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, Hess will meet at 3 this afternoon. We have House Bill 785, Kenai Care Center, House Bill 805 on Otitis Media, and House Bill 806, Child Care Facility Loan Fund.
Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, House State Affairs at 1:30. Generally, our meetings are at 1:15, but this is at 1:30 this afternoon in Courtroom A. In Courtroom A and not in the regular State Affairs Committee room. We'll be having a joint meeting with the State Affairs, with the Senate State Affairs Committee regarding the critique of the financing plan, the capital move financing plan by White Weld and Company, investment bankers of New York, London, and Geneva, and a spending impact of Dean Witter Associates in a critique of their evaluation. The financing plan is submitted to the Capital Site Planning Commission.
Further announcements? Representative McKinnon.
The Commerce Committee will meet at 1:30 this afternoon to take up House Bill 739, Mechanics and Materials Liens.
Representative Rudd.
Community and Regional Affairs will meet tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock with the group of mayors which has requested to meet with us.
Representative Gardner?
Judiciary Committee will meet at 3 o'clock today on the criminal code.
Further announcements? Is there further business to come before the House? Representative Miller?
Speaker, at the weekly Democratic luncheon today, Representative Red Swanson will be speaking. That'll be at the Capitol Room in the Baranoff. Speaker, if there's no further business to come before the body, I'll ask unanimous consent we stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Hearing no objection, the House is adjourned.